I'm Rachel Winder. I'm here with Al Fox Caraway. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I serve a mission in England, and my district leader, he was such a huge fan of you. Like, almost every district meeting, he would have, like, a quote from you or, like, some sort of a recording from you. He was just, like, I think he had a big crush on you, for a lot, to be honest. So that was,
awesome.
That was my first introduction to you.
Yeah.
And like, we would get so pumped to do missionary work after listening to you.
Because
your conversion
awesome.
Story is amazing.
Oh,
like,
thanks.
Yeah, I really love it. For our listeners who don't know, what is your religious background and how did you find the church?
So, well, I grew up Catholic. We didn't do anything about that. Like, we went to church for Christmas, maybe.
Uh-huh.
We just weren't, I don't consider myself growing up as religious, and I definitely didn't care about any religion or looking for one when I met the missionaries. But I listened to them because they were kind of dorky and I felt bad for them. And I was just on this quest to, like, prove them wrong. Like, hey, all of these blessings you're working towards, they're, like, all in your head. So in my mind, I was out to prove them wrong, that whatever they believed in was silly and it was all made up. But I couldn't prove them wrong unless I lived how they were teaching me, and to live it long enough to allow contrast to happen, if it were to happen, and then go to them and be like, see, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing about acting and trying is, you know, here I am. Yeah.
It was like a year-long process, right, when you were meeting
with
the missionaries?
Well, it felt like a year.
Okay.
But no, it was actually probably only like a month and a half.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But with the amount of changing I had to do and the amount that I've learned and the amount that I had to, like, give up and struggle through, it really did probably feel like a year to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it was just like a month and a half.
What you said just there, converts go through such a transition.
Yeah.
And how can us members of the church help converts through that?
I was in New York when it happened, and where I was, it's very different than where I've lived since then.
Uh-huh.
So to me, like, everything was great. The only thing that really stunk was, like, my family and my friends. But to me, I wasn't around other members of the church during the week until I went to, and I, like, oh, I needed Sundays. I looked forward to it. They were all that I had. They were, in every sense, really, like, my family. We hear, like, ward family, and we think, oh, that's cute. But to me, like, that was a reality. They were, like, my family, and they were so accepting and so loving, and mm-hmm. they just didn't care about anything, and they included me, and it was amazing. And then I hope it's like that everywhere else, but I know that it's not. But maybe that's what you need to do. Just, like, don't even think about, well, you know, what they're doing or where they're coming from or where they're at or what they look like. Just include them and invite them. And, like, that was everything.
Like, just show support and love.
Yeah, like, who cares what they look like or who cares what they believe in or don't believe in or are struggling? Like, that, none of that should matter to us with how we treat them.
And then you just recently released a book. It was you and your husband's.
Yeah, so that was my second book that just came out. Yeah, so we wrote a book on marriage. That's called Cheers to Eternity. And then my first book, we just released a second edition a few months ago, which was really exciting.
Great.
So yeah, we added more chapters.
Oh, good. Yeah. And we can get that in the bookstores?
Yeah. So if you're here in Rexburg, I just came from there. I signed some. You can go get them.
Nice. Just like in the campus bookstore.
Yeah, you can go to the campus bookstore or the Deseret Book here.
Okay,
yeah. So I have two books.
I was reading your blog post about it, and your mom says if she had this book, it would have saved her marriage back in the day.
Oh my gosh, I know. That was wild. My parents have been separated for as long as I can remember.
Okay.
And I still don't know. It's kind of fun. After all these years, they've been kind of good towards each other, where we still don't know why they're not together anymore, because they just didn't want to, like, play that game, I guess, to be like, oh, they did that, or oh, it's this fault. We never got that. But for my mom to, like, bring it up and talk about it for the first time and to talk about it like that, it was extremely humbling and kind of crazy to hear.
Yeah, like, shocking to you.
We wrote it with the idea that it would be for singles or newlyweds.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of feedback that we heard, it's actually been mostly from people who've been married for a really long time saying, wow, like, I never thought of things like this, or, you know, wow, you know, I don't know. It's been really fun to see
how
it affects whoever.
Yeah,
whoever
I love that.
It.
Like, the audience wasn't what you expected. So
yeah.
People who have been married for a long time, they're getting a lot out of
your
book.
I think they're almost getting most out of it. It's just, I mean, we take things for granted pretty easy unconsciously. And so I think when you're with someone and you get into, like, the groove of things, we kind of forget things that we can and should be doing or viewing things differently. So I think it's a really good refresher for, I don't know, things you might not have thought of or done in a really long time.
So I'm single and I'm just dating, and I feel sometimes pessimistic with there's just like divorces, and I see heartbreaks from people breaking their covenants. And what can I be doing right now to be preparing for marriage? And what can I do to be a good spouse when I am married?
You just worry about you, and you just worry about God. Because when we worry about bettering ourselves and strengthening our relationship with Him, then everything else that comes, whether it's meeting someone or dating someone or going through a trial because of someone, then we know that the best blessings and the best lessons will come because you are your best self. And Heavenly Father will only bring you to things that you like need to go through and learn from or be part of. And so sometimes we stress about like, oh, you know, am I asking too much? Or is there something wrong with me? Or like, what if it doesn't work out? Or what if, yeah, they screw something up? Or what if I screw something up? And I think that is just a really easy way for the adversary to get us to stay still. And if we're not moving forward, I think the adversary wins. So I think if we are worrying about us and worrying about what God wants us to do, then everything else comes in because of blessings from staying close to Him. I honestly thought I was never going to get married. Like, I really did think that. And
did you think that just because that was your mindset? Or
Well, I grew up not even wanting to get married. But then once I got comfortable with the idea, like, okay, maybe I'll eventually get married. But then when I realized I wasn't getting married and more like the years kept passing, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, like, is there something wrong with me? Or am I asking too much? Like, does this person really exist? Do I need to compromise? If so, what were the things was I willing to compromise with? And then it just got kind of like annoying and kind of like a negative mindset towards everything. But then I realized, you know what? Bump it. I'm going to just worry about me. And I'm not going to let my situation or what I don't have stop me from learning new things and doing new things. And so I went to like the temple and I got endowed and I started speaking and I started writing. And I just feel like it all fell into place the way that it needed to. Or maybe even as a blessing just from, I don't know, like obedience and trying.
Because you chose to be happy despite this thing where you feel like you weren't at the place that you wanted to be with, you know, marriage and...
Well, yeah, I think that's the theme of my life. I feel like there's always something. I feel like the theme of my life is, this isn't what I asked for. Thanks, though. Or like, why is it so hard? Or like, are you even there still? Do you even care still? Why does it need to be like this? Why does it need to last so long? Like, I feel like nothing has gone the way that I had in mind. And that could be hard. Especially if it means so much to you, or if you think it's a good thing that you're working towards, because it's then that we have these thoughts and worries and doubts and confusion. But looking back, I am so grateful things never went the way that I had in mind, because they have been profoundly better than what I ever could have imagined. And it's so funny because it was those moments, it were those like exact moments where I was wondering where He was and why things needed to be so hard. Like, it was every moment I was wondering where He was and why things were hard and why they couldn't be different that brought me to, you know, everything now. And it breaks my heart to imagine my life any different. And so if we just allow ourselves to give God a chance to show us how great He really is, then it'll be easier to do that the next trial and the next change of course. Because, like, it will always work out, but are we letting Him?
What you said about when you went through hard times in your life, I was reading some of your blog posts and some interviews that you had in the past, and you've had times in your life where things, like you said, just weren't working out. How do we go past that? Because that's one of the most prevalent mental illnesses today, just depression and anxiety. How did you get through that journey?
Well, I don't know that I would be able to label it depression or anxiety, but it was a trial that really stunk. And it was a trial that lingered very long. And I found myself not feeling like myself because I was felt like I was dealing with something so new and for so long, and you just get tired of it. I don't know how much I can chime in on mental health because I don't know how much I've really experienced with that. But if you do struggle with that, we have resources. They're there for a reason, so we should use them. I think... Other than that, if we look bigger than like mental health, for me, perspective was a really big thing. I started to become like bitter because things, I felt like things should have been getting better and they weren't. I felt like the more time passed, things kept getting worse. And I was just like, what the heck?
Right.
I'm doing what I think you want me to do. Why isn't it getting better?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I was tired of feeling like that. And then it really hit me that we find what we look for. And I hadn't been looking for the good. You know, when I moved to Utah, I was treated so badly. And I just spent a really long time wondering, why did you bring me here if things were going to get worse? Why would you bring me here to a place where people would stare at me and treat me like the modern day corridor, you know?
Oh, gosh.
And I spent so long starting to get mad at the state and mad at the people and almost like mad at God. Like, why would you do this to me? Why would you bring me here? But then I realized that's not, you know, we find what we look for. And I wasn't looking for the good. And so as soon as I just had like that mental shift, and that took a lot of prayer and practice to really do that, but you can do it. It's totally possible. I started to notice good things because good is always there because God is always there. And he's there and we feel him more than we recognize. And I think if we remember that if all good things do come from God, that includes feelings. So we actually feel God more than we realize. And God is actually showing he's there for us more than we realize. So anytime you have ever felt happiness or hope or comfort or forgiveness or anything remotely good, like that's God saying like, hey, I'm here. Hey, what you're doing, what you're hearing, what you're trying and working towards, like that's good. You feel that because of and from him. And so I think it's really easy to get in this all too familiar dance with the adversary where we wonder and we doubt and we cry and we stay still in our situation. But then we realize, oh, things are good because I'm not alone, because God is real. And I just felt him just now when I prayed. You know, I think all of us can, no matter how hard or how lonely we feel, I think all of us can know that at some point in the middle of our situation, we have felt okay. And it's not because anything changed, but because that's you feeling him. And we just get like the little bit extra that we need to push forward. So I think recognizing all the different ways that he shows he's there for us helps us move forward. That was a long answer.
I love that because I feel like that's your goal in everything. Like your goal is to, whenever I've heard you talk or in your blog post, you're trying to bridge the people and their relationship to God, like bring them together.
Yeah.
That's why people are drawn to you, because they can feel that their relationship with Heavenly Father is growing because of that.
I hope so. I purposely talk about things I struggle with, and I purposely talk about my trials and everything that goes wrong and everything that's hard, because I feel like even though we all experience things so different, we all feel the same. And I feel like that's how we connect. Because even though you may not be covered in tattoos standing in the middle of Utah Valley, that might not be you. But we have all at least felt at one point judged or alone or asked to do something hard or asked to do something you don't understand. And so I feel like if we can share times and open up with how we feel, that's when we know we're not alone. We are in this together. And then that's when we can come together and learn and progress and like walk each other home, you know?
Because that's the ultimate goal. It's returning to God.
Yeah.
Right? Thank you so much. This has been just amazing. I love the points that you've caught. And is there anything that you want to add to your fans or anything you want to add to our listeners?
I think you guys are great. I think your efforts matter. Like your efforts, they make a difference and they don't go unnoticed. And I feel like if we just let God take us somewhere different and embrace the unexpected, then we will have a time where we look around and see where we are and what we've gained along the way, and we wouldn't want to change a thing.
And then we can get your book in the bookstore, in Deseret Bookstore.
Yeah, More Than the Tattooed Mormon or Cheers to Eternity. And you can follow me on social media. I'm @22AlFox.